Let's speak. Let's continue to worship the name of the Lord for his favor. Let's thank him also for the testimonies we just heard. Indeed, the Lord is faithful. Let's worship the name of the Lord. He has not allowed us to suffer any loss. He has been moving us forward. And I know you also, you have testimony. Lord Jesus, we appreciate you. Be thou exalted in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Father and our God, we appreciate you for these great things you've been doing in our midst. Thank you especially for the way you helped and supported our sister and you help her to achieve success. Thank you also for our pastor and his family, for how you kept the child, watched over the child, and turned that situation around to be a testimony. Father, we appreciate you for all the other things you've been doing in our various homes and families. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Tonight, O Lord, we come before you. We want to listen to your word. We want to hear from you. We have come for revival. We have come to be renewed. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. You will use this moment to be a moment of blessing and revival for every one of us in Jesus' name. Whatever may be the past, whatever may be the situation and circumstance of the past, Father, I pray that your promised future will be the portion of every one of us on this platform in Jesus' name. Thank you because you have answered our prayers. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Brethren, I believe you can see my screen, hopefully. And today, by the grace of God, we are looking at this topic, surrendering the past for a glorious future. Surrendering the past for a glorious future. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to read verse 18 and verse 19. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and verse 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. By God's grace, this passage we are looking at is the message of God through Prophet Isaiah to the children of Israel. In the past, God has used the same prophets to warn the children of Israel that if they continue in their sin, they will be sent into captivity. And at this time, they are already in captivity. But God knew that the condition and the circumstance, the situation they found themselves, that captivity situation could be an hindrance for them to see what is planning for them for the future. Hence, he sent the same prophet who has prophesied their woes to inform them that there's a better future ahead of them and they should consider the things of the future and not the things of the past. In this text, we see that God again is speaking to his people, that he wants them to look at what he has in plan for them in the future. And the same thing God is telling us today, I don't know what your past looked like, what has happened in the past, in your physical, spiritual, career, and other areas of your life. But the injunction of God to you and to me, to us today, is that stop considering, stop giving up, stop getting connected to the failures of the past, and then look up, look forward to the things that God have in future for you. God knew that if they were stuck in the failure and sin and discouragement of the past, they would never go forward to the new thing God had for them. And that is why God is also telling us this today. Let's see a passage in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, let's see verse 12 to verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now we see, you know, another example here of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, if you look at his epistles and the letters he has written to the various churches, you will feel like this man is a mature believer, a mature Christian, an already attained minister. But the Bible tells us that Paul the Apostle, you know, is not looking at himself in this passage we are looking at today as somebody that has already attained, or somebody that is already perfect, or somebody that has already laid hold on, you know, the great things that God had in plan for him. But rather, what did he do? The Bible tells us that he pressed forward towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. The Lord is telling us that whatever your past may look like, maybe a destructive past, a bad past, a discouraging past, a past full of failures, look away from that past and look at the things that God has in plan for you. And God is also reminding us through Apostle Paul's epistle that we have just read, that whatever may be your current situation or your spiritual experiences of the past, look past those great, wonderful spiritual experiences. Look past all the successes you have had currently and look at what God still has in stock for you. Brethren, the Lord is inviting us to surrender our past. And you may want to ask, what are the reasons why we should surrender our past? Number one, those who dwell on revision instead of vision miss out on God's purpose and God's promised future for their life. If what you do is to always revise the future, how you failed, how you did that thing, how you made that mistake, how you could not make it at all, how you could not get that job. If you continue to revise the failures of the past, it will hinder you from envisioning the promises and the great things that God has in plan for you in the future. So stop the revision and start envisioning, and the Lord will give us the promised future in Jesus' name. Another reason is that being bound by our past hinders us from moving forward with energy and determination. If we allow the failures, the disappointment, the unfulfilled longings of the past, you know, to incapacitate, or they have the power to de-energize us. And when we are de-energized by all those happenings of the past, will lack energy, then you start to hear about depression. I cannot do anything. I can't even concentrate. I can't focus. I can't read. I can't do this and that. We become de-energized and we don't have energy to move. We don't have determination to move to the future. So God wants us to surrender the past so that we can see the great things and move towards them that he has for us in the future. Another thing or reason why we need to surrender the past is because fear of past failures has the power to paralyze us and prevent us from pursuing great possibilities in the future. Also, clinging to the past, you know, restricts us from fully embracing the potential of the future. If we continue to cling to the past, you know, past experiences of failure or even past experiences of success, it will hinder us from embracing the great possibilities of the future. Maybe as a believer, you got born again, you got sanctified, and you are happy, you are so filled with holiness and righteousness, you are no longer telling lies, you are no longer fighting, you are no longer committing sin. If you allow that success of the past to keep you there, and then you keep ruminating, oh, I'm holy, I'm righteous, you will not be able to see the great possibilities of the Holy Spirit baptism, of the giftings of the Spirit, of the manifestation of the Spirit, of the wonderful things you could do for the Lord, of the field that is white already for harvest. You'll not be able to see all those things. So God wants us to surrender the past. Our negative memories have the power to immobilize us and hinder us from progress. You know, when we fill our heart, our mind with a negative memory, maybe as a Christian, at a point in your life, you fell. You committed sin. You felt so disappointed about that sin you committed. You confess the sin. The Lord forgive you that sin. But you, after the forgiveness, you kept asking yourself, when you look at a brother, you are like, this brother has been in the faith. He has never fallen into that kind of sin. When you look at a sister, you feel like that this sister is a Christian, but has never fallen into that kind of sin. Me, I fell to that sin. I know I cannot be the same again. I know God, even though God forgave me, I know things cannot same again. I cannot be as vibrant as I used to be anymore. I know I have had a spiritual accident. I know I cannot move forward. I know I cannot be what exactly God wanted me to be because of this error and mistake in my life. God is saying, no, put that behind. You know, put that aside. Forget the memories of past failure. Do not allow them to immobilize you. Move forward and you will make progress. Another reason why God is telling us to surrender the past is because those who are trapped by their past accomplishment may question their ability to achieve more. Those who are filled with their successes, filled with, you know, the joy of the success of the past, if they are not careful, they become trapped in that success, in that accomplishment, and they don't want to look at the future anymore. That's why, you know, the example of Apostle Paul is the type God wants us to follow. Apostle Paul said, not as though I had already attained, you know, but he said, I press toward the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He kept pressing on. Another reason why God is reminding us this today is that our last success can become one of the greatest obstacles to our continued growth and advancement. Spiritually, maybe you have just had a special encounter in a program, you know, in your quiet time or through any spiritual means of grace. And after you have had that, you know, you may begin to feel like, oh, I have gotten what God wants me to get. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has strengthened me. The Lord has energized me. God is telling you today that is a stage. Don't allow that to keep you and hinder you from progressing. There are great possibilities, wonderful things you can become, you know, you can become in Christ. Look at verse 11 of Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible says, if by any means, this is Paul the Apostle, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Look at Apostle Paul. He had achieved so much, but he got to a point, he was telling himself, there's more to attain. There's more to achieve. If by any means I can attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He was simply saying that, you know, I want to attain to that resurrection of the righteous. I want to be resurrected to glory in the last day. A great thing to accomplish in life. Brethren, in summary, God is saying, you must move past your past to enter into your future. And the Lord will move us past our past in Jesus' name. Let's look at this first part, surrendering the past. Surrendering the past. Let's look again into the examples of Apostle Paul. Please, if you are there, could you help us read Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14? Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14.
Verse 12.
Yes.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
God bless you. Verse 14.
Yes. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Rishi. Now, you know, you can see how Apostle Paul here, look at the way he surrendered his past. He left the past behind and he started pressing forward, you know, to those things that God had in plan and in future for him. And you may want to ask the question, how exactly can I surrender the past? How can I surrender the past? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look at verse 17 to verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 17, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things, the past, are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Brethren, the one of the things that always keep us back and tie us to the past and always keep us, you know, away from looking at the future is sin, is guilt, is unrighteousness. And if you want to surrender your past, the first thing you need to do is to ensure that you give your life to Jesus. Whatever it is, where you felt you have disappointed God, where you felt you have even made mistake, personal mistakes, where you felt you have even wronged and done things that you were not supposed to do. And you always look at those past failure, past mistake, and what you could have done right. Just go to the Lord, make confession of those things, tell him like a son, like a daughter, talking to the Father, Lord, I failed you in this area. Lord, I disappointed you in this area. Lord, I did what I shouldn't have done. Lord, I failed you. I know I actually failed you. Just tell him and confess those things and tell him you are sorry and repent of those things. Don't go back to those errors and those mistakes. By doing that, you are surrendering your past. What do we need to do again? After we have ensured that we have become a new creature in Christ and we have become new, we need to, the next thing we need to do, let's look at it in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, let's read from verse 20 and verse 21. Please, anyone can help us read John 11, read verse 20 and 21 for us.
John chapter 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.
It's Apostle 3, verse 32 and verse 39 to 40.
Verse 32. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Verse 39. Then Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor, for the reading. Now, by the grace of God, what we could see here is that we see here Lazarus had died, and he has been buried. And you see the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, they approached Jesus when Jesus arrived. And they were like, if you have been here, would not have had the kind of past that we had. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus told them to take away the stone. And then they kept making mention of that. And Jesus told them something. He said in verse 40, Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? The Lord is telling us that your past may look like something you are already regretting, and you felt like it is finished, it is done, it is sealed, it is buried, just like Lazarus had been buried. But if you could do one thing, God can turn around that past to become a profitable one for you. And what you need to do is what he told Mary and Martha. He said, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Brethren, faith disconnects us from the failures of the past and connect us to the promises of God for our future. God is telling us to surrender your past. Have faith in God. Connect to his promises. Believe him. Believe his promises. Believe what he has said about you. Don't allow the past to define who you are. Don't allow the past to define your present or your future. But rather allow God's promises. Allow the possibilities in God's promises. Allow the possibilities of the future revealed to you through his word to define who you are. Believe that and walk towards it. And the Lord will give us that grace in Jesus' name. Brethren, with faith in God, we can move past our past guilty conscience. Whatever guilty conscience is there, sorrow of, about the past, you know, regret about the past, we can move past that if you believe that God has something in plan for you. If you trust him, if you believe him, he will connect you to your future. It may be crumbled marriages that you've had. God, through faith, can turn around that situation. Unfulfilled longings, things that you want God to do for you, and for years you have been praying, you have been waiting, you have been thinking, and then it looks like things are not changing. And because of the years, long years of waiting, you felt like, my life is like this because I have been waiting all this long. I know this, I'm going to wait, nothing is going to happen in my life, nothing better will happen. No, God is saying, connect true faith to the future, and that unfulfilled longings, the Lord will turn it around. The wounds of bullying as a child, as a youth, as a man, as a woman, in workplaces, in the place you find yourself, maybe you have been bullied, and then your morale had gone down, you are not able to attempt any better thing anymore, and you feel like you are finished, nothing is going to happen that is good about you. You know, God is telling you, us, that whatever that has done in the past for us or in our lives, connect through faith to the future and things will turn around. Maybe you had chattered dreams before you came to this country. You have envisioned something great, what you are going to be. You are thinking of yourself, but that at age 40, at age 35, at age 45, you are going to be a company director. You would have gone high in the professional world, but it looks like everything has crumbled and everything has chattered. God is saying, it's not yet finished. True faith, even though Lazarus was condemned and was said to be finished, his sister said that he had been buried. He's been here for some days. But Jesus said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If yours is financial disaster or stagnant career, for years your career is not moving forward, things are stagnant, you are not making any progress, connect with faith. From today, something better is going to happen in our lives in Jesus' name. Let's look at the second part, embracing his promises. Embracing his promises. God has the power to exchange your ashes for beauty as he fulfills his lifelong promises in our lives. What are these promises that God wants us to look at? Isaiah chapter 43. Can we all open our Bibles? Let's look at the promise of God for our future. Be excited about this, brethren. This message is not just coming, you know, by chance. God is using this to speak to you, to speak to me, that there is something better about our future. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Please, if you are there, help us to read.
Praise the Lord.
Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Are you not knowing? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Amen. Brothers, say amen to that. The Lord is telling us from his word, do not remember those former things. Do not meditate on the things of old. Stop thinking and meditating on those things. God is saying, I will do a new thing. And it will spring forth. And it will happen in your life and in my life in Jesus' name. Isaiah 42, let's look at verse 9 and verse 16. Please, if you are there, help us to read. Isaiah 42, verse 9 and verse 16.
Verse 9, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
Amen. God bless you, richly, sister. And let's also look at John chapter 11, what we have read before. John 11, let's look at verse 25 and verse 26. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Please, if you are there, help us to read. Verse 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Lord is saying that even though your situation may look like it's dead, or you are dead, or the career is dead, the marriage is dead, the finance is dead, things are dead, the dreams are dead, God is saying, if you believe in him, though you were dead, but you shall live again. Your future will be alive again. Your dreams will be alive again. Your careers will be alive again in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. The Lord is saying, if it has been a situation of career debt, marriage debt, financial debt, it has been consistent like that. God is saying, if you believe in him, you will not die again. Your career will not die again. Your marriage will not die again. Your spiritual life will not die again. Your finance will not die again. Things are going to turn for the better for you and for me in Jesus' name. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62, verse 2 to 4. Who want to read this? And as you read it, personalize it. First, believe God is talking to you. Can somebody help us to read this one now? Isaiah 62, verse 2 to 4.
Isaiah 62, verse 2 to 4. And the Gentiles shall see the righteousness, and all kings the glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name.
Yes, continue to 4.
Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land dweller, for the Lord delighted in thee, and thy land shall be married.
Amen. Thy land shall be married. Brethren, take time, meditate on these promises. Pray them into your life, and it will be your experience in Jesus' name. God has the power to change our ashes to our beauty. He is able to turn our poverty to plenty, just like he did that to Joseph. You see, Joseph, from betrayal by his brothers to, you know, coming to the house of Potiphar's, and then being pushed from there into the prison. You know, he faced a lot of poverty, challenges, problems of life, but from the prison, God turned his situation around and his poverty became plenty. He became the prime minister. God has done it before. Embrace his promises, believe him, and he can do it in our lives also. If you also look at the life of Job, we've been studying about Job for some times now. You know, from ruin, Job went to recovery. He lost everything, but eventually he recovered all. What have you lost? Have you lost your personality, your career, your marriage, your spiritual life, your financial life, and whatever it is that you have lost? God can help you to move from ruin to recovery. If you also look at the life of David, from obscurity to ovation. When God told the prophet, you know, to go and anoint somebody from the house of Jesse as a king, we were told that, you know, when Prophet Samuel got there, Jesse took all his sons together for them to be looked at and for one of them to be anointed. David was not even called at all. He was left there in the bush to be running after animal. He was obscure. He was hidden. You know, his talent, nobody wanted to reckon with him. He was just there, hiding there. But God turned the situation of David around from that obscurity, you know, to ovation. He became a king in the land of Israel. Brethren, what is your condition? What is your situation? Are you like a hidden person? The talent is there. The potentials are there. You are just looking at yourself every day and saying, I'm dying with this talent. Is this how my life is going to continue? I can do this. I can do that. But it is not being appreciated. I am not able to use my talent. It's like I'm just here buried. God is telling us, if we embrace his promises like he did unto David, from obscurity, he will take you to ovation. The life of Paul the Apostle was a life of men. He was full of destruction, killing Christians, committing them to prison. But we're told when he met Jesus, his life turned around from mayhem to melody. Brethren, God can do these things in our lives. Also, there was this woman, a woman with the issue of blood in the Bible. The Bible tells us that for 12 years, he was carrying this sickness here and there. He had that infirmity. But when he met Jesus, his life changed, his life turned around. And brother, sister, the Lord can turn your situation around. What is the infirmity in the family? Is it for 1 year or is it for 2 years? Is it for 2 months? Is it for 5 months? Is it for 10 years or 15 years or 20 or whatever year, you know, it is that you have been going through that infirmity. Brother, sister, as God turned the life of this woman around from infirmity to invigoration, the Lord can turn your situation around. Moses had a stagnant life. He killed an Egyptian. And after that, he ran for his life. He ran for his life. And over there, where he ran to, the Bible tells us he was there for a period of 40 years in Midian. And while he was there, his life was stagnant. Not much was written about him. Even if you look at the scripture, not much was written about Moses for that period of 40 years. He lost, you know, he lost that number of years. Stagnant, nobody, you know anything about him. He was just, you know, being a shepherd, you know, running after animals. But you see, God turned his stagnancy to success. If you are stagnant physically, if you are stagnant spiritually, if you are stagnant in any areas of your life, the Lord can turn that stagnancy to success. Just embrace his promises and he will do it for you. He will do it for me in Jesus' name. Ruth's life was a life of emptiness. She lost her husband. She lost her husband's brother-in-law. She lost her brother-in-law. She lost her father-in-law. She lost everything. But from that emptiness, God turned the situation to enrichment. Brother, sister, the Lord is telling us, embrace his promises and your situation will turn around for the better in Jesus' name. Before we pray, let's look at pressing toward a glorious future. Pressing toward a glorious future. After you have surrendered your past and you are embracing his promises, is there a responsibility? Is there something you need to do? Let's look at our text again in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to verse 14. Philippians 3, let's read verse 12 to verse 14. Please, if you are there, help us read the passage. Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This word apprehend is from the same Greek word translated attained, but with a preposition prefixed, which means in the local force, down, to push something down. Paul the apostle wants to catch hold of it and put it down and make it his. So he said, I can't know myself to have laid hold, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He was determined to lay hold for that for which Jesus has laid hold on him. Look at the passage again in verse 13. Brethren, I can't know myself to have apprehended, to have laid hold on the climax, the greatest, the mightiest, the wonderful, the most wonderful, the greatest of the future that I can ever have. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. In verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, I may lay hold that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. If I may lay hold on that great thing, the reason for which Christ himself has laid hold on me. And what was the reason? What were the reasons why Christ laid hold on Paul? To make him to conform to the image of Christ.
Paul the Apostle was aspiring for that, to make him an instrument of conversion to others. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, you will see that. You know, Paul the Apostle was only looking at the reason why God called him, the reason why God made him a believer, the reason why God made him a Christian, and he was asking himself, have I attained, have I reached, have I laid hold, have I apprehended, have I taken it and laid it down? Is my hand reaching it? Am I holding it? And that is what God is telling us today. The reason why God has called you as a believer. Have you laid hold on everything? Have you achieved all that God has for you? All God has in plan for you? Have you gotten all that God has in plan for you? Have you attained all that God wants you to attain? Have you reached all that God wants you to reach? Have you gotten to that level that God wants you to get to in your spiritual life, in your homes, in your families, in your career, in every area of your life? And if you are not, you have to do what Christ did in verse 14. I pressed toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God. God is telling us that after we have surrendered the past, we embrace his promises, there's something you need to do. And it is that you must press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God. Only the active, not the indolent, not the passive, we obtain the promise of a glorious future. What do we need to do? Forget the past. Understand your parts. What do you need to do? What is the part you need to play? Trust in God's power. Uncover your past sins and confess them. Reach forth to the future with action. You know, there was one old woman, not here, but back in our country, who were praying for her. She would say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me so that I will be able to do something. I'll be able to be earning money by myself. We kept praying, we kept praying, we kept praying. Then there was a time we asked the woman, Mama, you have been telling us to pray, to pray, to pray. What do you want to do? I want to sell something in shop. Go and rent the shop. I need to buy something there. Buy the things. And then the prayer became answered prayers. What we are saying is that what God is telling us is that after we have prayed, after we have surrendered the past, after we have embraced his promises, we need to move into action. Start applying for the jobs. Start taking the program. Start taking the courses. Start studying what you need to study. Start taking the step. Start taking steps of faith. And the Lord will take us to that future in Jesus' name. Engage in heartfelt entreaty continuously. Pray earnestly. And that future you are waiting for, you are praying for, you are envisioning will come to pass in Jesus' name. Let's read again in John chapter 11 before we pray. John chapter 11, let's quickly run through from verse 20, 21, and then verse 39 to verse 44. I read from verse 20, John 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as he had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Let's go to verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Let's look at verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. The Lord is telling us that thing that is injuring us, take it away. Remove the embargo. Forget the past. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. She was considering how long the challenge, the problem has been. Verse 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, and this is what God is telling us, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Brother, sister, believe that marriage can get better. Believe you can make it career-wise. Believe you can succeed spiritually. Believe you can go past the weakness. Believe the future is bright. Don't look too much at all the negative news around. Brother, sister, in the negative news, in the negative challenge, problem, and circumstances, the Lord will bring your future out. In verse 41, Then they took away the stone. Take the past away. Take the unbelief away from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. All those things that are tied to the past, and then it's like progress is not coming, the Lord is going to set them loose, and progress will come from henceforth in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads and present ourselves before the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. The Lord is telling you, the Lord is telling me, surrender the past. What are the things you need to surrender? Are there sins there? Are there unrighteousness there? Are there guilt there? Are there mistakes there? Surrender those parts. Just surrender to the Lord. Surrender them to the Lord. Surrender them to the Lord. Surrender them to the Lord. Embrace his promises. Things will get better. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of the Lord. Brother, you will see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. In your family, in your career, you will see the glory of the Lord. In your spiritual life, you will see the glory of the Lord. In your family, you will see the glory of the Lord. Say it, I will see the glory of the Lord. I will see the glory of the Lord. In my family, I will see the glory of the Lord. In my spiritual life, I will see the glory of the Lord. In my finance, I will see the glory of the Lord. My career will rise again. My spiritual life will rise again. My finance will rise again. My family, there will be love again. Oh, pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Those potentials that you feel like they are buried like Lazarus, you are feeling like time is wasted. You are feeling like it's for 4 days. It has been buried. Nothing can happen. By now, it's tinkered. It's gone. You pray and call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord will resurrect them again. The Lord will bring them back again. You will see the glory of the Lord. I will see the glory of the Lord. I will see the glory of the Lord. Say it. I will see the glory of the Lord. I will see the glory of the Lord. Pronounce the glory of the Lord into your life, into your spiritual life, into your career, into your homes, into your families, in the life of your children, life of your husband, life of your wife. You can be better. The potentials will be accomplished. Those potentials will not be buried. They will not be lost. They will not be stinking. They will not be a forgotten thing. The Lord is taking you somewhere. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of the Lord. You will see the glory of the Lord. Lord, let your glory rise on me. Let your glory rise on my family. Let your glory rise on my career. Let your glory rise on my finance. Let your glory rise on my spiritual life. In the name of Jesus, are you facing stagnancy in your career? Are you facing stagnancy in your homes? Are you facing stagnancy in your family? Are you facing stagnancy in any area of your life? Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, there are people in the scripture who have faced that kind of stagnancy. Moses was in the same situation for a period of 40 years, but the Lord turned the situation around. Are you obscure? It's like you are hidden. Nobody is seeing those great things in you. You know you can do better. You know this is not where you are supposed to be. You know by now you are envisioning, I'm supposed to be a director of a company by now. I'm supposed to be a CEO by now. I'm supposed to be this or that by now. You know within you, you have a great potential. There's something right there. But you know, the Lord is saying from obscurity, it can take you to ovation. Your time of celebration is coming. You are coming to share testimony on this platform. We are going to celebrate you. Pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, take me to ovation. Take me from the Eden rock. Take me from the Eden sepulcher where I have been covered, where I have been buried. Oh God, take me out. Take me to ovation. In the name of Jesus, pray and call upon the name of the Lord. Tell the Lord, tell the Lord. Pastor, please, you can take over now. Yes, Pastor, you can take over, sir.
But let's continue to pray. Brethren, the future is bright. We will not be stopped. We will not be hindered by incidences, either good or bad, of the past to destroy the glorious future. You know, another version of that promise in Jeremiah 29:11, it's about, he said, I'm going to give you a future, a hope. Brethren, there's a future. And we've had enough today. I want for us to pray actively that God, your promise is going to come, it's going to come through in my life. My future that is unstained, untainted, I will get there. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we'll pray. But I'm going to do it this way. You are quite literally going to be in charge, as it is often said, you're going to hold your destiny in your hand. I will occasionally spur you to pray, stir you to pray, but you do the job yourself. I want to give an instance. Shortly as miracle happened, and as the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, you know, they did not know the future. But the Lord has promised he was going to give them a land of milk and honey, but they were filled with intense opposition. It got to a point, they were just crying to Moses, and Moses, quite naturally, as he would do, he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, this is the issue. And the answer of the Lord is going to be our prayer point today. The Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying unto me? Tell the children of Israel to move forward. Sometimes the disadvantage is in our head. Sometimes it is only imagined. The barricade is not real. The Lord has given to go ahead. Future is bright. Forward moving is the goal. But we are still asking questions. The Lord said the gate is open. You are still saying, hey, is it this way I go? Am I going to walk left, right? Go forward. You are going to do it this way, brethren. You are going to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, today I move forward. In the name of Jesus, every stagnancy, everything and anything that is making me to stay back, in the name of Jesus, I move forward. Spiritually, I move forward. In my career, I move forward. In the name of Jesus, enough of crying, enough of giving the description of how bad situation I've been, it is time to move forward. You are in a stranger, understandably so. Maybe you walk double or triple hard to get where otherwise should have been a pain. Enough of that regret and complaining. Now we start to move forward. We are going to pray more and begin to tell the Lord, Lord, in this area of my life, I move forward. In this other area of my life, I move forward. In the name of Jesus, please launch into prayer, brethren. Begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I move forward. In the name of Jesus, you have promised you will never fail. What you promise is a land filled milk and honey. I am not to die in the wilderness. What you promise is that, oh God, the recipe will be there, but it is the lap full of milk and honey. I'm going. In the name of Jesus, the seven strong kings will be there, but I am headed to the land filled with milk and honey. In the mighty name of Jesus, they may be Jericho, but I'm going to the land filled with milk and honey. Canaan has been promised, and the authority of he who has promised is unchallengeable. By two immutable things, it's impossible for him to lie. God cannot lie. If he says you're going to have a brilliant career, trust him by his word, you are going to get it. He said, if he says that financial condition is not going to be permanent, trust the Lord, going to happen. So tell the Lord, Lord, I move forward. I move forward to this struggling from hand to mouth. I move forward to plenty. In that mighty name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. You know yourself. You know what seems to be stagnant now. It could be the marriage is like there is no wine, there is no love. Everything is done mechanical. It's like you're even living with a roommate, not a spouse. You want to tell the Lord, I move forward. From this state of pale, tasteless marriage, I move forward to something enjoyable in my marriage. I move forward. In the name of Jesus, I move forward. Every entrance in my way to get into the promised destination, you are going to be out of my way. You cannot stand there. The Lord has promised that I'm going to Canaan. In the name of Jesus, I'm leaving Egypt for Canaan. I is the land of God divine. Oh, Canaan, oh, Canaan, oh, Canaan. I am living in Egypt for Canaan. Oh, the Lord knew that there are giants on the the way. The Lord knows that Jericho is there. He knows about the Red Sea, but he's told you that you are going to get to Cana. Say, Cana is my destination. I move forward. I move forward in the name of Jesus. Every gate, every entrance that are dead are going to crumble. Every obstacle in the name of Jesus are going to follow. He said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted, ye everlasting door, that the King of glory may come in. He said, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, almighty in battle. He is the King of glory. There's not going to be any obstruction, no anything and everything that's going to relay you from getting to that glorious destination. Brethren, I'm just telling you to pray. Do the work yourself. Enumerate. He said, bring forth your strong reason. Begin, go ahead and begin to tell the Lord, this is the reason why I must move forward. This is the quality of your promise. I'm not supposed to end. I'm not supposed to end in the poverty. Plenty is my portion. In the name of Jesus, you begin to pray the Lord, the dream has been given. For Joseph, the dream was clear. We can argue about how he handled the dream or otherwise. Maybe he was wise or otherwise, but the dream was clear. The dream was unmistakable. No ships were ships were bowing unto him. The dream was there. The promise was clear. But you know, from that 17 years until when he got to a prime minister, it was like it was stagnant. But the Bible says, why cry you unto me? Move forward. You are telling the Lord, there is a throne for me to go occupy. There is a prime minister state I need to go occupy. No, I'm not going to die in prison. I'm not going to die in the hands of Potiphar. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I move forward. In the name of Jesus, in my health, I move forward. But we've been talking about that woman with issue of blood. No, she was fainting. There was infirmity. But invigoration came. You're going to pray, Lord, I move forward. I am not happy in this state. Lord, I move forward. Oh, yeah, catapult me, God. In the name of Jesus, I move forward. And receive though like it movement, but it's not resulting to progress. Today I cut you off. I say I move forward in the name of Jesus. I move forward in the name of Jesus. I move forward. No, the wickedness is not my end. It's not my end. I move forward in the name of Jesus to that glorious destiny. You are challenging your career that seems to be stagnant. Oh no, I pray life into my certificate. I pray life to my CV. I can be better. I can do better. Why I begin to pray and say, Lord, I move forward. Let there be life. Let life come into my papers. Let the life come into my certificate. In the name of Jesus, it is written in every labor there is profit. I labor for those certificates. I spend the midnight candle. Lord, it must be profitable to me. I move forward. Career-wise, I move forward. In the name of Jesus, tell the Lord what you want. Tell the Lord what you want. I move forward. In the name of Jesus, every hold of stagnancy in my life, break. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, my future is clear. My future is a glorious one. I refuse to be tied down by the prayer, by the things of the past. He said, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Lord, I promise new thing, let it come to pass in my life. I hope you are praying. I hope you are telling the Lord, you are bringing forth your strong reason. Brethren, this is the only prayer point you are going to pray today, but make sure you are doing it right. Make sure you are convinced in the spirit that you have moved from where you have been. Because the Lord said, it's why are you crying to me? Why are you analyzing the past? Why are you giving excuses for the past? Okay, I've had. But now the issue is move forward. Move forward. Thank the Lord, I physically, I spiritually, I emotionally, I materially, I, oh God, ministerially, I move forward. In the name of Jesus, forward. Forward is the Lord command. Forward, forward to the promised land. Forward, forward. In the name of Jesus, I march forward. In the name of Jesus, every hold of stagnancy, you cannot be there in my life. No, it is time for forward movement. I move forward in that name of Jesus. Said the Lord, in my work forward, in my health forward, in my life forward, in my family forward, in my finances forward, in my service forward, in my ministry forward, in my love life forward, in my family forward. I move forward in that name of Jesus. Every hold of backwardness, every hold of stagnancy, you you cannot be there. Okay, he has been there for 4 days, but the thing is like, yes, he's going to comfort. Hey, comfort, my joy comfort, my renewal comfort. In that name of Jesus, I move forward. In that name of Jesus, in my home forward. In that name of Jesus, the Lord is telling you, brother Ituruku, why are you crying unto me? Move forward. Why are you complaining? Move forward. Brother in Olu, why are you complaining? Move forward. My sister over there, move forward. Move forward. Enough of analyzing of how hard it is. Enough of analyzing how ABC could not make it. Enough of that beautiful composition of hey, we are limited as immigrants. Enough of those analysis. What you have to do now is move forward. Move forward. Move forward. Tell the Lord, Lord, I move forward. In that name of Jesus, out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. I move forward. In that name of Jesus, I move forward. I trust you have dealt with the most important thing, your faith. You are saved. You are sure you are saved. You are redeemed, child of God. If that is taken care of, the rest are little. You are going to say with your mouth that, Lord, I move forward. Any word spoken against my progress, any word anywhere spoken against my progress, they said, yeah, you can go ahead and get that scholarship to go abroad. You can even marry, you can even have child, but there's not going to be, there's not going to be career satisfaction, no family enjoyment. You are going to rebuke every evil that been spoken against your life, that is supporting stagnancy, that is supporting backwardness. In that name of Jesus, I speak against you, you evil word. In that name of Jesus, I challenge you, because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In that name of Jesus, no greater word can swallow the plan of God for me. He said, the plans I have towards you, they are the plan of peace, to give you a hope, a future, to give you a hope, a future. The plans and the thoughts of God is not that you be stagnant. The thought and the plan of God is not that you be beggarly. The thought and plan of God is not that you will not have ministerial fulfillment. You want to pray and challenge the current situation as the Lord told Moses, don't complain. Why are you crying unto me? Don't complain. Enough to complain. Tell the children of Israel to move forward. He said that he's telling us tonight, tell my children in deeper like Finland to move forward. Minister for forwardness, material forwardness, in fact, spiritual forwardness, family forwardness, health forwardness. In the name of Jesus, we move forward. Our children move forward. They advance in the academics. In the name of Jesus, our jobs are secured. In the name of Jesus, there may be proposed things from the government, but we are going to, even though we move forward, the giants, the anarchists, we'll be there, but Canaan is our destination. Oh, the thing of the past, the cucumber of the past of Egypt, they are not going to substitute for the milk money of Canaan. The past is gone. The servitude of Egypt is gone. Oh, we're going to be at liberty in Canaan. We're going to be at liberty in Canaan. I'm not going to dwell on the past of how we were abused in Egypt. I am looking forward to the joy of serving the Lord in the wilderness and in Canaan. I'm looking forward to the joy of nationhood. The children of Israel, they had the joy of looking forward. And God told them, why are you crying unto me? Just move forward. Just move forward. Say to that situation, I move forward. In that name of Jesus, I move forward. In that name of Jesus, I move forward. I refuse to be retrogressing. I refuse to be stagnant. I refuse to move backward. Lord, forward ever. Forward ever. In that name of Jesus, I move forward. In that name of Jesus, my glorious future is secure. In the name of Jesus, I move forward. In Jesus' name, we pray. Forward, you ever move in the name of Jesus. But then if you have time more, just check the instances of that report the Lord told Moses, as he told the Lord, and in your private time, make sure you pray more and claim your victory of forward movement. Your future is bright in the name of Jesus. You will get that ovation. It may seem that you obscure now, the ovation will come. It may be like you are abandoned in the sheepfold. Now you are going to get to the palace. In the name of Jesus, all of us as a church will move forward from our present state to a higher realm, spiritually, physically, materially, ministerially, even in everything, in Jesus' name. Our Lord and our God, we want to thank you. that we can surrender our present to have a secured, a favored future. And Lord, you promise that you have, you know the thought you have for us. It's the thought of peace. It is a good thought to give us a hope, to give us a future, to give us expected end. And Lord, you never fail, you never lie. You never disappoint even one day. It is thing I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Neither is it begging bread. You cannot promise and fail. Lord, we hold on your promise. Just as you replied Moses when he reported last time, you said, why are you crying? Why are you overanalyzing? Why are you deliberately telling the children of Israel to move forward? Lord, we came to that and we move forward to our glorious future. Canaan is where we are bound. In the name of Jesus, I pray every Anakims, every Abraham's destruction from Egypt to Canaan, that we want to disturb the journey. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will quench every opposition on our way. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we move forward. In every home that I see, there is thing just mechanical, no joy, no love. It's just like people are living like roommates, no joy, no sense of familyhood. I break everything to see that mechanical relationship. Lord, let there be oil, let there be joy, let there be wine in those homes in the name of Jesus. Every strange man, every strange woman, causing that friction. In the name of Jesus, we command you back off in the name of Jesus. Every career stagnant, receive life in the name of Jesus. Every walk, every pauses, every bank account that is drained, receive life in the name of Jesus. Lord, we move forward in the mighty name of Jesus. As we find time to pray the more, you say, my future is secured in you, future of fortune is secured in you, future of the church is secured in you, future of the peace of our Jerusalem is secured in you. God, you will hear us the more. I want to thank you so very much for our pastor you use for us. We pray ever more you feel him. And as we've prayed, oh Lord, there'll be testimony. In fact, coming from next week, there'll be testimony of moving forward, of job openings, of peace in the home, of enlargement, of project increment, of investment, of every good thing, even spiritually in the name of Jesus. But as we go to, oh God, go for evangelism tomorrow. In fact, the testimony will start from there. We will move forward. As we go to Ibika, Kayani, Lord, we are moving forward. There'll be a future for us in those cities as we claim them for you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And the people of God say, amen.
Amen.
Amen.